All right, let's open our Bibles this morning into the Old Testament to the book of the Psalms, and specifically to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use it this morning. Psalm 119, please. There is 176 verses in this psalm, and I'm going to preach on all of them this morning, so I hope you brought a lunch. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to preach on one verse. If you will look at your Bible, you will notice that over top of verse 17, you have a little, looks like an emboldened backwards parentheses, and then you have the word Gimel, all right? In this psalm, this psalm is all about the Bible. In all but, I think, two verses out of the 176, there you will find the word law or statutes or word or commandments or testimonies in every verse, because the whole psalm is about the Word of God. It's about the Bible, the law of God. And what the psalmist did was he took the Hebrew alphabet. You will notice over top of verse 1, there is a little thing. It looks like an N that is not connected on the ends, but that is the Hebrew A, the Hebrew Aleph. And then over top of verse 9, there is a little insignia, little character, and it's called Bet, B-E-T-H, Bet. And then at the above verse 17 is the third letter in the alphabet, the letter Gimel. All right, so I'm going to start reading at Gimel, at verse 17. And I'll just go ahead and tell you that the 18th verse is the verse that I'm going to preach from this morning, so give special attention to the 18th verse. But we begin with verse 17. Now, the reason I didn't say this, but In the Hebrew language, and I don't know, I don't read Hebrew, but this is what they tell me, that whatever verse, whatever word is the beginning of that section using the Hebrew alphabet, and that's what all these little things are as you go through this psalm, that the first letter of the verse starts with that letter. So blessed in verse 1, whatever that word blessed is in Hebrew, it starts with the letter Aleph. And then on verse 9, wherewithal, whatever the Hebrew word is for wherewithal, it starts with the letter Bet, B. And then 17, deal, whatever that word is in Hebrew, it starts with a G. All right, so that's why the letters of the Hebrew alphabet are used in the design of this psalm, of this poem. All right, so look at verse 17. He says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes. Here's my text now. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Now go back, please, to verse 10 or verse 18. Let me read it again. He said, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, The Wonder of It All. The Wonder of It All. Keep your Bible open and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message on the wonder of it all. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible. And as we look at this 18th verse this morning, I pray that you will bless in a great way. Father, help us never to lose the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us never to lose the wonder of the Bible, the wonder of the church. Help us never to lose the wonder of life and the wonder of our family and our children. Father, may we just have open ears and open hearts this morning to receive your word and to be encouraged in the things of God. And Father, I pray that you will fill me with your spirit and help me this morning as I speak. You know my heart, Father, and I want to be a blessing this morning. But the only way I can be is if you bless me and help me to be that blessing. Give us ears to hear, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. Back in the 14th century, and it continued from the 14th into the 15th, 16th, and 17th centuries, there was a time in Europe that today we look back historically and call the Renaissance period. You see, the world had been in what was called the Dark Ages. For centuries, the world was in what we now look back and call the Dark Ages. But Tyndall and some of the others through the years got a hold of the text of the Bible, and they started translating the Bible, and it became prevalent, and Gutenberg came out with the printing press, and so the Bible spread, and all across Europe, when men got their hands on the Word of God, Europe enjoyed what we now can look back and call a Renaissance. The word Renaissance basically means this. It simply means rebirth. And when men got the Bible, and when the light of the Bible was shined upon their lives, they experienced a Renaissance, a rebirth. I was thinking about that, and I think we need a Renaissance today. I really think that our world today needs a Renaissance. There is nothing but bad news that is happening in our world. Every time you turn on the television and watch the news, it's bad news. Every time you sit down and read a newspaper, what do you read? You read bad news. Hope and change, and we heard so much about that a few years ago, hope and change has become despair and degradation. Our society is not evoluting into a better world. We are devoluting, or devoluting, if you will. And the world is getting worse and worse with each passing day. I have never seen so much chaos, so much economic hardship, so much despair as what I see in our country today. And so I began to wonder, what will get us out of our new dark ages? What's going to get us out of this new dark age we're living in? Folks, the Bible is very clear as to what God expects from us. But when you have a society that has turned its back on the Bible, when you have a society that has denied the existence of God, When you have a society that has said, I don't want to listen to what God has to say, and I don't want God's laws and rules reigning and ruling over my life, well, the only thing that you're going to get out of that is a mess. And that's where we are today. We need to adopt the words of David, and we need to make verse 18 the prayer of our hearts. In this verse, David said, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, folks, I'm convinced, and I've said this before, and I've been criticized for saying it, but that's what makes me such a tender pastor. I just stay in hot water all the time. Yeah. But I need to say it again. But I'm convinced, and time has not convinced me otherwise. But I am convinced that most Christians are not reading their Bibles. I'm just convinced on that. You see, we have lost today the wonder of it all. You say, Pastor, how can you say that you don't think Christians are reading their Bible today? Because we're not in awe of God like we should be. If we were reading the Bible, we would be in awe of God. We would not be able to contain ourselves. But I think we've lost the wonder of it all. We don't have enough Christianity today to come to church. You know that's true. We come if it's convenient for us to come in many cases. And we've lost the wonder of going to church. We have lost the wonder of a walking, working relationship in fellowship with the Lord that reached down in the pit and saved our souls. We have lost the wonder of that. We have lost the wonder of praying and seeing God work wonders in our lives. We have lost the wonder of that. Folks, that should not be the case at the Church of the Open Door. That certainly should not be the case with the Church of the Open Door. 3.5 years ago, I was so sick, I had to take 7 weeks off. And you got together and you spent 24 hours praying for my healing, and the Lord put His hand on my body and healed me. You ought not have lost the wonder. You should not have lost the wonder of it all, because you know you have seen what God can do. But why don't we pray anymore? You see, we've lost the wonder of it all. The psalmist prayed for open eyes so that he could behold the wonder of it all. Folks, when you think about it, we've got an amazing Bible. We've got an amazing Bible, and that Bible reveals God's plan for this old world. It reveals God's plan for mankind. It tells us how we got here. It tells us why we are like we are. It tells us what God did for us when He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on Calvary's cross. It tells us what God is about to do. God's not finished with this world yet. And I have preached to you on that subject so many times. We're just waiting for the trumpet to sound. And God is not yet finished with this old world. I'm so excited about the soon coming of the Lord for His people. I can't hardly stand it. But I believe He's coming back soon. I believe it could be today. If he doesn't come back today, I'm going to look for Him to come tomorrow. That's how soon I think we are to the trumpet sounding. And I read my Bible and I see that the day of the Lord is at hand. Oh, He's coming, folks. And it's all revealed right here in the book. Everything that we read in this Bible is here for our benefit. And if we will stay in the book, God will open our eyes and we will not lose the wonder of it all. And that's why I don't think we're reading the Bible, because so many of God's people today are losing the wonder of it all. I believe that if we were in the Bible daily, seeing with open eyes, that we would never lose the wonder of the Christian life. The wonder that I am no longer on my way to hell. That's an amazing thought right there. Man, when you get saved, hell is no longer in your future. Not only the wonder that heaven or that hell is not my home, but the wonder that heaven is going to be my home. The wonder that I am eternally secure in Christ. The wonder that I can sit down as a Christian. Think about it, folks. You, as a child of God, you can sit down, read the Bible, and understand what God is saying. That's amazing. I remember trying to read the Bible before I was saved. It didn't make any sense. I didn't understand it. For you see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But once you are saved, you can read the Bible and get it. Don't ever lose the wonder of that. Now let's think about this verse for just a minute. Look at it again. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. There are three things I want you to see about this verse. First of all, I think our wonder is diminished by familiarity. Familiarity. Someone has said that if suddenly the stars were to quit shining for 100 years, and then after 100 years, suddenly were to flash on again, everybody on the planet would rush out to see them. I think that's true. I think that's true. Before we came here to Westminster, I was pastoring in Joliet, Illinois. And I sat down one night, and it was a Saturday night. I remember Josh had one of his friends over, sleeping over. And I remember sitting downstairs, and I had the TV on. And at 10 o'clock, the news comes on out in the central time zone. Prime time television here in the East is from 8 to 11. Well, out in the central time zone, it's from 7 to 10. They just back it up an hour. They don't delay the broadcast. And at 10 o'clock out there, the news comes on. And I was sitting in the basement, and the news came on, and I watched a little bit of the news, and then they said, tonight is a special night because the Northern Lights are in full display. Now, it was in the dead of winter, freezing cold. But I said, wow, you know, being a hillbilly from West Virginia, I'd never seen the Northern Lights before. And so I got up and I got my boots on, and I got my coat on, and I got my hat on, my scarf, my gloves, and I went outside and just stood out in the yard and watched the Northern Lights for a couple of hours. Oh, my feet were frozen and my hands were frozen, standing out there shivering, but I was watching the Northern Lights. It was phenomenal. I had never seen it, but boy, did I enjoy it. Now, why did I stand out there for a couple hours and freeze to death? Because I was enjoying the wonder of it all. I was just enjoying that so much. But you see, the stars were out last night. And they were out the night before that. And they were out last week. And the stars were out last month and last year. For as long as we have been on the planet, the stars have been shining. And so, it's not a big deal to us anymore. To us, the spectacle is so familiar that we have lost the wonder of it all. A famous author from the 17th century said, I would rather live in a cottage and wonder at everything than to live in a castle and wonder at nothing. different? Would you look at your family? Would you look at your children and your spouse and your grandchildren? Would you look at them right now, see them in your mind's eye, and see the wonder of it all? Your spouse loves you. Your children love you. Those children whom God has blessed you with, all the wonder of a child. Last Monday night, Josh and Kathy called and wanted to know if we would, or they asked us on Sunday, wanted to know if we'd watch the kids while they went out to celebrate their anniversary. And so we agreed to do that. And so Karen had found out from some ladies at work about this place. I'd never heard of it, and I couldn't believe I had never heard of it, but she found out about this place over near Thurmont that is an old church campground, and they have this slide on it. It's called Rocky Ridge Slide. And how many of you know where Rocky Ridge Slide is? Raise your hand. Okay, all you Carroll County folks do. All right. Well, why didn't you tell me about this earlier? So we drove over there and found it. And it's a wooden slide, it's enclosed, but it's so awesome. And we walked into that place, Josh's kids. So Brayden, he's 9, and Jenna, who's six, right? And then Brennan, who's 2, and Ella, who is almost a year. And so we got in and walked over to it. And Brennan, the 2-year-old, I got him by the hand. He walks over, he looks up and sees that slide. And there were some teenagers coming down at about that time. And they were, flying down that thing. And Brennan looked over at me and he goes, "Wow, Papa." I said, "Do you want to do this?" "Yes." Well, Brayden was already halfway up. Jenna was right behind him. And then here goes Brennan, 2 years old. No fear whatsoever. He went running up those steps, and there goes Papa right behind him. We got up to the top, and Brayden thought it over a minute. Jenna kind of backed up and... And so I said, "You ready, Brennan?" And he went, and I said, "Well, let me sit down. You ride down on my lap." Now, let me just say for the record, I wouldn't advise that. I could not walk the next morning. I had to be pried out of bed the next morning. Oh, my goodness, I was sore. But I went down it several times. And so I sat him on my lap, and we started down that thing. Got about halfway down over the first hump. There's 3 humps on it. Got over about to the middle of the second hump, and all of a sudden my feet, which were pointed down, turned around, and I'm now going backwards. We got down to the bottom of it, and Brendan's eyes were this big. He was so excited, he jumped up, "Do it again." And up he went. And this time, he didn't want me to go down with him. He got up there, shoved the kids out of the way, no waiting in line for a 2-year-old, and laughing on his belly, and down he comes. Then he ran back up on his belly, head first, down he comes. And then before long, he climbs up, he just sits down, and from a seated position all the way down, did it several times. People were down at the bottom with cameras on their cell phones watching him as he comes, and he's screaming like a banshee the whole way down. And I just stood there and watched those kids sliding on that thing, peeling the hide off their arms, but having a blast. And I thought, oh, the wonder of it all. Hey, folks, don't miss that. Don't miss the wonder of it all. I mean, mom and dad, never lose the wonder of your children. They grow up fast enough as it is. They'll be leaving the nest before you know it. So never get so familiar with those you love that you lose the wonder of it all. Take those children and love them and hug them and pray with them and give yourself to them and never lose the wonder. Amen. That is your children. Let me ask you something. What if all of a sudden it were against the law for you to attend the Church of the Open Door? What if all of a sudden Comrade Obama... Hey, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Can I tell you that socialists of the last era, I'm talking about Stalin and Mao and Castro, socialists of the last era, they made church illegal. And they're setting the stage right now for doing the same thing. You know, you preach against homosexuality, which the Bible is against. Let me just say for the record. God says it's an abomination. Well, that just rubs against the grain. And let's suppose they came along and said, you folks aren't thinking like we want you to think. You guys, we're going to have to shut this down. What if Chairman Obama said, no more churches like Church of the Open Door? Well, if you're saved and this is your church, that would crank you up and you would all of a sudden see the wonder of the church, would you not? You would all of a sudden realize what you got. So just because we have the freedom now, don't lose the wonder of your church. Don't lose it. Second thing I want you to see. You know, many of our life experiences tend to recreate our sense of wonder. Many of the things that we have to go through in life tend to recreate our sense of wonder. Sickness, for example. Sorrow, for example. Death, for example. Losing a member of the family. A broken heart, for example. These things often have a way of refocusing us and getting our eyes on the wonder that is our family, our home, our life. And all of us will eventually have to face these things. I remember when my grandfather died, and I was very close to my grandfather. All of us were. He lived with us, and we loved having him there. My grandfather went to the fourth grade, dropped out in the fourth grade because he got offered a job in the coal mines, taking care of those little ponies that they brought over here from Europe that pulled the coal out of the mines. And his first job was taking care of those ponies. So he dropped out of the fourth grade. He could barely read and barely write. But oh, how wise that old man was. He had more wisdom in his pinky than most people have in their whole head. I quote him all the time. It's amazing the wisdom that that dear man had. And when he had a stroke and passed away, it just completely shattered our lives. I mean, the house that we were building when he died, the house that we were building that he was such an integral part of, all of a sudden, that big old house meant nothing to us. It meant nothing. We came home from school one day and Mom said, we have sold the house. We're moving. And we said, well, where are we moving? Mom said, we need to get back to Cross Lanes where the church is located. and I need to get you boys in church. You're going to ruin and destroy your lives. And a month later, I got saved. And then a month after that, my dad got saved. And then 9 months later, God called me into the ministry. Oh, the wonder of it all. Man, when that happened, when my grandfather died, we were devastated. But you know, hindsight's always 20/20. And I can stand here today and look back and see the hand of God at work in the lives of the Belcher family in Hurricane, West Virginia. The wonder of it all. We often find ourselves in the valley of despair and wondering what the Lord is doing. And when we get into that situation, our prayer should be the prayer of the psalmist. We ought to get on our face before the Lord and claim Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things." Folks, God makes no mistakes. Your spouse goes on to glory. You lose your job. Cancer strikes or some other illness. There are any number of experiences that can come our way in life. And when those things hit you, pray for God to give you open eyes. Let God and His Word succor your heart. Find strength and find purpose and find your walk with God and realize the wonder of it all. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." New creature. Last fall, I was preaching down in southern Ohio, and there were two churches sponsoring the meeting. On the first night, we were in one church, and all the folks from the other church came and filled up the building, and we had a great meeting. Then the next night, we all went to the other church, and we filled up that building and had a wonderful meeting. And in the second night, the pastor got up about halfway through the service and said, "Does anybody here have a testimony for the Lord?" Well, folks started standing up and giving testimonies about what the Lord has done for them. And one man stood up about right over here to my right. I was sitting over here where I could clearly see him. And he stood up and he said, "I am celebrating my 1 year birthday in the Lord in just a week or so." And everybody said, "Amen." And he said, "I cannot tell you what it has meant to me to trust Christ as my Savior. My life has completely changed since I got saved." He said, "The sun shines a little brighter for me now." He said, "The flowers are a little more beautiful to me now." He said, "Why, even the moon shines brighter, if you want my opinion." And when he said that, I just sort of sat there for a moment and just grunted a little bit. And then I thought about what he was saying. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what Paul said would happen when you get saved. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." God makes all things new for us. And I think that many of these traumatic events that we have to face in life can recreate a sense of wonder in our lives. You know, sometimes the chastening rod of God can come in our lives, and God can turn that chastening into a blessing in disguise if we just will not lose the wonder of it all. Our world around us is never more beautiful and never more fresh, and life is never more wonderful, and our loved ones are never more dear than after a season when our sky has darkened and we thought that things could never be the same again. My friend, draw next to the Lord and let your prayer be, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. And let God turn the situation around for you. Then lastly, I want to say to you that the Lord Jesus always saw the wonder of it all. He always saw the wonder of it all. I read something a couple of weeks ago, and I want to share it with you this morning. But I read where back in the early 1900s, right after World War I, the British went into Egypt after the war. They went into Egypt and started uncovering Egypt, just shoving all the sand back. And when they did, they found all the ruins of the dynasties of the pharaohs from 2,000 years ago, all preserved naturally by sand. And as they started to uncover and dig, they found so many amazing things. And one of the things that they found was a stone tablet that had engraved in the top of it sayings from Jesus of Nazareth. And when they transcribed and translated that tablet, they found that several of the sayings were right, just exactly the way the Bible says that Jesus said these things. But there was one on there that was not found in the Bible. One of the sayings was not recorded anywhere in the Scriptures. And here's what it said. They said that Jesus said, "He that wonders shall reign, and he that reigns shall rest." Now, did it sink into you? He that wonders shall reign, and he that reigns shall rest. You say, well, Pastor, did the Lord actually say that? I don't know. I'm old, but I'm not that old. Rick, you might remember. No, you don't remember either? No? Did the Lord actually say that? I don't know. But wait a minute. It sounds like something he would say. It sounds like something he would say. And I do not know that he said that, but I do know, because it's in the Bible, I do know that he said this. He said one time, "Except ye become as little children, ye cannot see the kingdom of heaven." I do know he said that. You say, well, Pastor, who did he say that to? He said that to the Pharisees. He said that to the Pharisees. And think about it, folks. A little child is wondering all the time. They're wondering all the time. Their little minds are always wondering. A child's world is full of, is not full of laws. It's not full of things that bind. A child's world is full of wonder. Now, the Pharisees were too proud to wonder. Everything was ruled and reined in by laws and regulations. So I can see the Lord Jesus and these Pharisees coming up to mock and criticize and do what they could to tear him down. And I could see the Lord Jesus taking a child, setting that child full of wonder, taking that child and sitting that child on his lap, and I can see him then looking into the eyes of those Pharisees and saying, he that wonders shall reign, and he that reigns shall rest. I can see him doing that. Augustine, the great theologian, said, let others wrestle. I shall wonder. Let others wrestle. And that's what these Pharisees spent their lives doing, just wrestling things. You and I are not to live by wrestling. We're to live by faith. Amen. Open mine eyes, Lord, that I might see. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things from thy word. And folks, I think the key to victory in the Christian life, I think the key to happiness in the Christian life, I think the key to joy in the Christian life, I think the key to contentment in the Christian life is to keep the wonder of it all. The Lord Jesus said one time, consider the lilies of the field. Why did he say that? I think he was telling folks, hey, look at these lilies that grow. I made that. Look what I can do. And never lose the wonder of what the Lord can do. Never lose the wonder of God's love. Never lose the wonder of the gospel. Never lose the wonder of the Bible. Never lose the wonder of your children or your grandchildren. My prayer and yours every day should be, O Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Folks, never lose the wonder of it all.